the Lord Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This is 2013, and this is the year of the Lord's favor. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. And if you do not have a loving and a saved relationship with the Lord, you ought to do it in 2013. If you do have a loving relationship with the Lord, you ought to be able to say, I keep falling in love with him over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a joy between my Savior and I keep falling. Can you say amen to that? I keep falling in love with Christ over and over and over again. Amen. If you have your personal copy of the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention to the gospel according to Matthew. The gospel according to Matthew, while I turn this heat down. Praise God. Amen. I'm hot already. Praise be unto God. Amen. Matthew chapter 7. And I'd like to commence reading at the 24th verse. Matthew chapter 7. And I want to begin reading at the 24th verse through the end of that chapter. Matthew 7, 24 beginning. You have that. Say amen. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Using this text this morning, I want to share a special New Year's message to you this morning entitled, If I Were Wise, Seven Things I Would Do in 2013. If I were wise, seven things I would do in 2013. In the parable of the builders, Jesus, the master teacher, is talking about two categories of people. He's talking about people who are wise, and he is talking about people who are foolish. And Jesus compared a wise man to a man who would build his house upon a solid foundation. He compared a foolish man to a man who would build his house upon a flimsy, undependable, unreliable foundation. And Jesus made it clear that what determines whether we are wise or foolish depends upon our reception to his teaching and to his word, because Jesus said if we hear him, we are comparable to a wise man. If we do not hear him, we are comparable to a foolish man. Now, wise people think differently from foolish people. Wise people engage or do things in a certain way. Wise people engage in specific behaviors. Wise people have different outcomes from foolish people. Now, in contradistinction to that, foolish people think in a certain way. Foolish people do things in a certain way. Foolish people engage in certain behaviors. And foolish people will have a different outcome from people who are wise. So Jesus is exhorting us, and we have a choice this year. We can be wise or we can be foolish. And if I were wise, there were several things or seven things I want to talk about in particular that I would do this year, because this is the year the Lord has made. Can you say amen to that? And we ought to be excited about the possibilities and the opportunities that are presented to us in this new year. Amen. So being wise is important. And when it comes down to whether I'm wise or whether I'm foolish, I'm sort of like what William Ernest Henley said in the poem Invictus. He said, "It matters not how straight the gate, nor charged with punishment the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." And in a real sense, this is true when it comes down to whether I'm wise or whether I'm foolish. I'm the master of my fate. I'm the captain of my soul, whether I'm going to be wise or whether I'm going to be foolish. Does that make sense, church? Now, the Bible, Brother Sperling read so beautifully, talks about that wisdom is priceless and it is precious. Out of all the things you could ever desire, nothing is comparable to wisdom. And it talks about how we should go about getting, if I'm going to be wise, how am I going to do it? What is my strategy to become wise? Well, the Bible talks about how we should do it in Proverbs chapter 1. If wisdom is personified, and if wisdom had a voice, she would come into the places where people are engaged into the affairs of life. And if wisdom had a voice, wisdom would cry out, "Let me help you. Let me help you live your life. Let me help you to elevate your life." If wisdom had a voice, she would cry out in the marketplace. Move to Proverbs chapter 2. It tells us how we should seek wisdom. Once you're convinced that wisdom is something worth having, then Proverbs chapter 2 says, if you will cry after knowledge, if you will lift up your voice for understanding, if you will seek for her as silver and search for her as hid treasure, then you will understand the fear of God and you will find the knowledge of God. Proverbs chapter 3 talks about the fact that there's nothing that can be compared to wisdom. It'll give you long life. It'll give you riches and honor. And it'll give you happy. If you're happy, if you're not happy this morning, I can tell you how to get it. Hello? You can be happy by getting wisdom. But you got to really want it. Amen? Then the Bible talks about people. We have examples in the Bible of people who gain wisdom. Moses said in Psalms 90 verse 12, he said, "Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Didn't he say that? Solomon, the great king, got wisdom through a prayer. And he could have asked God for any array of things. He could have asked God for anything. God appeared to him in a dream and said to him, to the young king, ask what you will. And Solomon asked God to give him a wise and an understanding heart. And then we read about Mary. How one day when Christ came into the home of Mary and Martha, and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing his words, she was seeking wisdom. Martha criticized her and said, Jesus, make her get up from there and help me. But Jesus told Martha, you're worried. Your life is burdened by a lot of stuff. It's a lot of stuff in your life, Martha, that's burdening you. But Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Can you say amen to that? He said, and in other words, we should choose the good part that will not be taken away from us. So we're challenged. All of us are challenged. This is a new year. Can you say amen to that? And for some reason, God allowed us to pass over into a new year. A lot of people who started out in 2012 are not here today. So we have a challenge to be wise, to seek wisdom in the way that the Lord would have us to seek it. Amen. Because your life will definitely have an outcome. It has some decisions you got to make in 2013. There are some things you got to do this year. And the question is, will you be wise in what you're doing? Now, if I were wise, amen, there are seven things I would do in 2013, if I were wise. How many want to be wise this morning? There's a lot of things to be wise about. So if I were wise, there are seven things I would do. And maybe you want to write these seven things down and meditate and ponder them this morning. Amen. And the first thing I would do, if I were wise, is I would understand my identity and my position in Christ. Now, it's got to get deeper than just coming to church. Hello? We've got to understand our identity and our position in Christ, because the place to be is in Christ. Is anybody in Christ this morning? That's the place to be. Now, all of us have an identity. All of us have an identity. But when we come to Christ, we have a new identity. Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Christ gives me a new identity. I need to understand what that means for my life. Not only I was born with a certain identity, and then I was born again, and I gained a new identity. And then I need to understand my position and my responsibilities in Christ. What does Christ require of me? What does Christ want me to do? The prophet Michael in chapter 6, verse 8, said, he has shown thee what is good, O man. And what doth the Lord require but to do justly and love mercy and walk humbly with thy God? What does Christ require of us today? Matthew 28, 18 and 20. Jesus said, go and make disciples of the nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In other words, go and make disciples of the nation. A disciple is a learner. Listen, if you have an identity in Christ, it means you are a learner. We are to enroll in the school of Christ. We are to be taught by Christ. Amen. We are to grow in the knowledge of Christ. Well, a disciple is a learner who takes that learning, and that learning leads to self-development and self-management. I take the teaching of Christ and I apply it to my life, and it develops my life. It develops and it maintains my life. Self-development and self-management. Well, Jesus said, when you get your new identity, any man be in Christ, he is a new. God gave you a new name. You got a new name. You know what your new name is? Christian. That's a new name. And when you stand before Christ at the judgment, you ain't got nothing to worry about if you're in Christ. Forget about all that false teaching that talk about, well, child, when we come before the judgment, ooh, child, no, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that if you are in Christ, you can have confidence at the day of judgment. Give me 1 John 4:17, Brother Hillary. You can have confidence at the day of judgment. Amen. I'm going to have him to read it because I want y'all to see this. 1 John 4:17 says what? Listen.
Herein is our love made perfect.
Herein is our love made perfect.
That we may have boldness.
We may have boldness.
In the day of judgment.
At the day of judgment. How many going to have boldness at the day of judgment? How many going to be scared to death? You got to understand your identity in Christ. If I were wise this year, I would understand my identity in Christ. I am not just a church member. I'm a disciple. Is that all right? And I need to understand my responsibility. My responsibility is to observe all things Christ has commanded me. Everybody here who belongs to the Lord is to observe all the things he wants us to do. Is that all right? So I need to understand my new identity. I need to understand my new position or my responsibility. And I need to understand my blessings and my benefits in Christ. I got some blessings and benefits in Christ because all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. Is that all right? All spiritual blessings are where? In Christ Jesus. And I want to tell you this, that in Christ, you have blessings that are going to be 100 times better than anything you ever received in this world. Is that all right? I said you have blessings and benefits that are 100 times better than anything you ever received in this world. And also in Christ, you have newness of life. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, the Bible said many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you might have what? Life. One of my benefits of being in Christ, I have life through his name. What kind of life, Brother Moss? Newness of life. What kind of life, Brother Moss? Abundant life. What kind of life, Brother Moss? Eternal life. Is that all right? I have all of these things where? In Christ. So if I were wise this year, I wouldn't just be a marginal church member. I need to learn about who I am in Christ. I need to learn about what does Christ expect of me. Christ expects some of all of us. Don't you want to hear Christ say, well done, thy good and faithful servant? Well, in order to hear that, you got to understand what he expects of you and live up to that to the best of your ability. And then understand your blessings and your benefits in Christ. Now, here's the second thing I would do if I were wise this year. The second thing I would do is I would develop within me a winning and positive mindset. Because as I think in my heart, so am I. I need to really work on my thinking. Because you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, let me tell you something. If you don't create a positive mindset, you're headed for trouble. Genesis 6:5, people let their thoughts just go haywire. Every thought, every imagination was only evil continually. I know some folk messed up in their mind today. Just talk to them. Just let them open their mouth and listen. You say, "Ooh-wee." They messed up. You can't. You've got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I would create a positive winning mindset. I can do all things. No matter what happens, I can make it in Christ. And the key is in Christ. Is that all right? I would create a winning mindset. Because as you think in your heart, so are you. Now, if I were wise, I would work on my mind in Christ. If I were wise, I would understand my identity. I would understand my responsibilities. Amen? Is that right? Here's number three. If I were wise, I would get my priorities straight this year. Hello? I would understand what's really the most important thing in your life. I'd get my priorities straight. I know what comes first in my life. Is that all right? Because you can't live right if your priorities are wrong. Book of Exodus. God delivered Israel from Egyptian bondage. And God led them into the burning sands of Sinai. And God gave them what is called the Ten Commandments. And God said to them, "Thou shalt have no other God before me." He said, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, neither shalt thou serve them, for I am a jealous God." He said, "I'm jealous. I don't want you winking your eye at another God. I don't want you giving another God a kiss. I don't want you to bow down." And he's still a jealous God. Amen. When you don't serve him, he gets jealous. When you put other things before him, he gets jealous. Because you belong exclusively to him. Does that make sense? And so I would get my priorities straight. I need to find out what's really first in my life. And I illustrated one day, man saw Jesus in the way and said to him, I'll follow you wherever you go. We're going to try to follow the Lord this year. Is that all right? And Jesus told him, he said, "Now, I want to tell you that foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another man said to him, or he said to another man, "Follow me." And that man said, "Let me first go and bury my father." And Christ said, "You got to get your priorities straight." He said, "Now I come first." He said, "Let the dead bury the dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." Another man said, "I'll follow you, But first, let me go home and bid farewell to them that are at home. And Jesus said, any man that put his hand to the plow and looks back, he's not fit for the kingdom of heaven. You got to get your priorities straight. If I were wise, that's what I would do. I would get my priorities straight. Is that all right? Here's number four. I would put quality effort into my spiritual life if I were wise. I wouldn't be half-stepping when it come down to spiritual things. Amen? Because, and you know why? And you know why I ought to put quality effort into my spiritual life? Because you reap what you sow. If you sow half-heartedly into the kingdom of God, into your spiritual life, that's what you're going to get. If you're lukewarm, if that's your style, your spiritual style of being lukewarm, then that's what you're going to get. If you're distracted, that's what you're going to get. Amen? Because as a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If I sow sparingly in my spiritual life, I'm going to reap sparingly. If I come to church as less as I can, pray as less as I can, study less as I can, I'm going to get a little bit back. A lot of folks got this Brio cream mentality, a little dab, do you? Come on, y'all. Is that all right? But if I sow bountifully in my spiritual life, amen, that I will reap. Is that correct? I will reap what? Bountifully. So I'm gonna put quality effort into my spiritual life in 2013. If I were wise, that's what I would do. Amen. What number was that? Here's number five. If I were wise, this is a big one. I would complain less and praise more. Hello, y'all. If I were wise this year, I would... You see, murmuring and complaining can get you in trouble. They murmured and they complained in the wilderness. God just couldn't suit them. And they murmured and they complained and they didn't have a good outcome. Amen. In Acts chapter 6, that was murmuring and complaining because the Grecian widows were neglected in the daily ministration, and that was a legitimate complaint. Sometimes people have legitimate complaints, and we have to address those. But don't be complaining and murmuring just because you want to murmur. Hello? Is that right? And God got tired of that murmuring and that complaining. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people. You are chosen to set forth the praises of him that call you out of darkness into the marvel. I tell you, you're saved to praise. Is that all right? You're saved to bless. Is that all right? If we don't praise God, I tell you, the rocks would cry out because the whole earth is full of his glory. If we don't praise him, I tell you, the morning stars will sing together. All the sons of God will shout for joy. I should praise God because the whole earth is full of his glory. I see his glory in the mountains. I see his glory in the restless sea. I see his glory in green blades of grass and beautiful flowers. Is that all right? And I see his glory in the birds as they wing their way through the air, singing about his glory. Is that all right? I'm going to count my blessings. I'm going to name them one by one. And when I do that, I won't have time to complain. Is that all right? I won't have time to murmur because the Lord sure been good to me. Is that all right? Yeah, he put clothes on my back. He put shoes on my feet. He put food on my table. He put joy in my heart. Is that all right? And he put a song on my lips in 2013. I'm going to open my mouth and praise God. Let everything, I said, let everything, everything that has breath should praise the Lord. And that was number five, right? Here's number six. If I were wise, I would include God in all of my big plans for 2013. Somebody said, if you want to make God laugh, tell him about your plans. You want to make God laugh? You know, God does have a sense of humor because he gave us a sense of humor. And sometimes, like your ticker box just turn over. Man, it's good to have a good laugh, isn't it? I mean, sometimes, you know, laughter can be so contagious. You can walk into a room and people laugh and you don't know what they laughing about. You just laughing because they laughing. Is that all right? But if you want to make God laugh, tell him about your plans. The rich man made some big plans, B. He talked about what he was going to do. What you going to do this year? Anybody got any goals for this year? I do. But people can get in real trouble. You make plans and you leave God out. Brother Hillary, James chapter 4, verse 13. You know, the rich man made a mistake and he talked about what he was going to do. And then we're warned, this is a new year. You know, at the beginning of the year, I go and buy me a planner. Because I try to organize my life. Can you say amen to that? Try to organize. Brother West, develop some strategies. Set some goals. Understand the obstacles that's going to be in the way as I pursue those goals. And if you got some goals, write them down. You got to write them down. You got to look at them every day. Look at them first thing in the morning, last thing before you go to bed at night. But let me say this. But all your goals, you got to pray about it. You got to bring God in on every goal you got. You can't make big plans this year and don't include God. That's a mistake. What is James 4:13 say, Brother Hillary, read it.
Go to now. Ye that say, today or tomorrow.
Day or tomorrow.
We will go into such a city.
We're going to go into a city.
And continue there a year.
We're going to go in the city and continue there a year.
And buy and sell.
We're going to buy and sell.
And get gain.
Get gain.
Whereas you know not what shall be
on
tomorrow.
But now here we are today. Today is January the 6th. What's going to happen tomorrow? Now, we know they got the national championship game planned for tomorrow, and I would imagine most of us going to be there trying to watch if we see tomorrow. You hear that, Earl? I'm going to be, if the Lord bless me, I'm going to be there with bells and whistles on and popcorn. And you hear that, Samay? And watching Bama roll, Hillary. Up here whispering fire and Irish. Faye Bow, we're going to take all the fight out of them tomorrow. The moss you talking, well, if they don't, I just eat crow next week. That's all. I just eat crow. I was wrong. That's all. Read, Hillary.
Whereas you know not what shall
be. You know not what shall be.
On the morrow.
On tomorrow. How you going to make big plans this year and don't include God? Come on, my brother.
For what is your life?
What is your life?
It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time.
I want to tell you something, and I talked about this, you know, last year we lost Curtis. We had no idea we'd lose him. I hope we don't lose nobody this year. But we don't know what the year going to bring. But yeah, we made it through it. A lot of hits, but we made it through it. You don't know what's going to happen this year. And that's why you need to, whatever you do, you got to include God. If you were wise, you wouldn't make no big plan and exclude God. Read, Brother Hillary.
For that ye ought to say.
For that you ought to say.
If the Lord will.
If the Lord wills in 2013.
We shall live.
I'm going to live. If it's got to be God's will. If I live.
And do this or that.
Brother Hillary here, I admire him. He had a big loss. But he's still standing. Through the grace of God. Can you say amen to that? We don't know what's going to happen. But we are optimistic and we're hopeful. And that's how we look at it. We live in hope and faith. And so, I got some big plan, but I got to run them by the Lord. See what he thinks. I got some things I want to try to do this year. But if I'm wise, I wouldn't make a plan and wouldn't include God. Read, Brother Hillary.
But now you rejoice in your boasting.
But now you rejoice in your boasting. That's and some people, man, they make plans and they don't say one word about God. What they going to do in five years? Well, how you know you're going to be living in 5 years? Read.
All such rejoicing is
all evil. Such rejoicing is what?
Evil.
Evil.
Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good.
Therefore, if you know you should include God in all of your plans.
And doeth it not.
So this year, don't you be talking about tearing down some bonds and building some bigger bonds if you ain't talked to God. This year, don't you be talking about starting a business or going into business and you hadn't talked to God. This year, don't you talk about getting married to somebody or even divorcing somebody if you hadn't talked to God. This year, don't you think about taking a job and transferring somewhere else if you hadn't talked to God. This year, don't you go have an operation in an operating room if you first hadn't talked to God. Whatever you plan to do. If you're going to make a major financial purchase, don't you think you ought to talk to God about it? If you want to holler at Sister Girl, huh? One dude said, man, when I first met that girl, I thought she was ice cream and cake. But later on, I found out she was rutabaga and asparagus. Hello? See, even B laughing at that. B could feel that one. Is that all right? You don't talk about you're going to get a hookup with somebody and you hadn't talked to God. If I were wise, that's what. And here's the final one, number 7. If I were wise, I would be wise about salvation. Understand about, because the Bible says it is a great salvation. It's all right to study. It's all right to go to UAB, University of Alabama, Sanford University, Birmingham, Southern, Lawson State, whatever school you attend. It's all right to study these great subjects. It's all right to study biology and psychology and anthropology and theology and philosophy and accounting and theory of finance. It's all right to study these great subjects, but it's more important to study what's called soteriology, which is the doctrine of salvation. You need to understand the doctrine of salvation. We need to understand, why did Christ come into this world? Oh, he came by here. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. We need to understand what we are saved from, what we're saved by, and what we're saved for. Is that all right? I need to understand the doctrine of salvation. And I need to understand in 2013, if I neglect my salvation, if I fail to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling, that's going to be too bad for me. And there's only one book in this entire world can make us wise about salvation. They talk about these different books and these different, ain't but one book. So one day a statesman was on his deathbed, cried out to his servant, "Bring me the book." And the servant said, "What book?" He said, "It ain't but one book. Bring me the Bible." Is that all right? The Bible tells me what I must do to be saved. It tells me how to stay saved. Is that right? It tells me I must hear the gospel, believe it, repent of my sins, confess Christ, and be baptized or immersed in water for the remission of sin. And it tells me if I err from the path that I need to repent, confess, and pray, and I can get my life back on track. The book for me is the Bible. And when I'm on my deathbed, I don't want you to read to me Charles Dickens, The Tale of Two Cities. When I'm on my deathbed, I don't want you to read the latest issue of Ebony, Jet, or Essence. Is that all right? When I'm on my deathbed, I don't want you to read a copy of the USA Today. But when I'm on my deathbed, I want you to read. Yes, I want you to read the B-I-B-L-E. You see, that's the book for me. Is that all right? And I want to say, in this new year, this is the year that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. I said, let us rejoice. I wish somebody heard me. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Is that all right? Because I hear Jesus saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Is that all right? To preach, glory be unto God, the acceptable year of the Lord. Is that all right? This is the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the year of God's favor. Is that all right? And I'm so glad, yeah, I'm so glad the Lord has brought me into a new year. Is that all right? And in this new year, I'm going to praise God more than I complain. Is that all right? I want to ask you, in this new year, 2013, do you have a reason to praise God? Is that all right? Do you have any reason this morning to praise God? Is that all right? Well, if God woke you up this morning started you on your way. Is that all right? Your heart was still palpitating. Your blood was still circulating. Your mind was still regulating. Your spirit was still percolating. Is that all right? Then you ought to praise the Lord. Is that all right? If the Lord got you off your sick bed in 2012, you ought to praise the Lord. Is that all right? If the Lord made your rough places straight, is that all right? And your crooked places straight, you ought to praise the Lord. Is that all right? If the Lord brought you a mighty, 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 mighty long way, you ought to praise his name. Is that all right? Because can't nobody do me like Jesus. Is that all right? Because Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him, I would fall. When I'm weak, to him I go. No other friend can cheer me so. When I'm sad, he makes me glad. He is my friend. Is that all right? So I said, thank you, Lord. Would you stand, please? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all of your blessings. I talked to Brother Ben this morning. Brother Ben said, I'm happy this morning. Because I woke up this morning. I said, that's all right, ain't it? Man, do you realize how advanced you are? You woke up this morning. And not only did you wake up, you got up. Is that right? So if I were wise in 2013, seven things I would do. And that'll make your life so much richer. And so much better. And when you do, you can hide behind the mountain. I am gonna hide behind the mountain. Well, I'm gonna hide behind the mountain. I'm gonna hide behind the mountain. Well, I'm going where the chilly, I tell you, it don't blow. Lord, I'm gonna hide. Yes, I'm gonna hide. I'm gonna hide behind the mountain. Well, I'm gonna hide behind the mountain. Well, I'm gonna hide behind the mountain. Well, I'm going where the chilly, I tell you, it don't. Oh.